Coming up on BYU Basketball with Kevin Young, the Cougs sweep the Sunflower State with back-to-back wins over K-State and nationally ranked Kansas. Now the Cougs hit the road for two in the Grand Canyon State, and we're breaking it down and setting it up with the coach and newcomer, Mihailo Boskovic, next on BYU TV and ESPN+.
BYU Basketball with Kevin Young is presented by Siegfried & Jensen, helping Utah families for over 30 years.
All right. Hello, hello, hello. Good evening once again out there in Cougar Nation. Welcome back inside Studio C in the BYU Broadcasting Building on the Brigham Young University campus in beautiful Provo, Utah, for our exclusive weekly look inside the BYU men's basketball team. It's our third to last show of the season somehow. We're coming your way in front of a great live studio audience, and we are live and on demand on the BYU TV and BYU radio apps along with ESPN+. Coming up on tonight's show, we will, among other things, look back on a pair of big home wins over the Kansas teams, K-State and KU, as the Cougs solidify their spot in the top tier of the Big 12. Our special in-studio guest this week is Mihailo Boskovic. We'll have our traditional game show segment with the coach and Mihai. We'll get some questions from the audience and have a BYU basketball trivia question later in the show as well. Well, in a season full of firsts for the Cougs head coach, it was two nights ago that Kevin Young picked up his first win over a ranked team as BYU's bench boss. And it just so happened to come against a Hall of Famer in Bill Self. Let's get tonight's show underway by welcoming in the head coach of your BYU Cougars. He is Kevin Young. Here we go again.
Good to see you.
All right. Just two more of these after this week. This season's flying by, isn't it?
It is, man. Every year you get towards this and you're like, man, it went so fast. But, yeah, it's been fun.
Congrats again on Tuesday. That was a special night.
Yeah, it was good. It was a lot of good things going on. And the execution was at a high level. And place was rocking, which I knew it would be. So it was fun to deliver that kind of performance in front of the home fans.
Yeah, the crowd execution was at a high level, too.
It was. It always is. And I knew for that game, you know, welcoming to Kansas here for the first time as a Big 12 member, would be rocking, and it definitely didn't disappoint.
You know, last year was a good year for BYU in its first year in the Big 12, but they never had a true win streak, right? More than two three-game win streaks. One became four. Now you're on another three-game win streak.
Yep. You know, we've been able to, as we say, stack days, stack wins, and, it's just a product of a season is about growth, and it's about getting better every day. I know that sounds really coachy, but it really is. And, you know, especially this year for me, as the leader coming in with a totally new environment, you know, obviously all new players for me and just a lot of newness for the guys as well. So just a lot of learning. You know, it takes a while sometimes to figure things out. And, we are figuring some things out. We still have a lot of stuff we got to keep getting better at, but just the guys' belief in what we're doing, I think, is growing.
You're never the same team throughout the course of a college season. Ideally, you're getting better as you go.
You are, and I mean, that's kind of what we preach, you know, to our guys. We just kind of whatever the next, I said this last week, but whatever's next, we would just want to make that the best, you know. So today we had a great practice. Tomorrow we want to come and have another good practice, and then the shoot around will follow that, and then the game, and you just try to just keep, you know, getting better in each one of those environments.
So the first win in the streak was at West Virginia, and I want to take us back a little bit because I think it might carry in. You had a really tough day at Cincinnati. It didn't go your way on a weekend. You had to bounce back in a tough place to play in Morgantown, and you've won every game since. Can you take us back to that sequence of events where you had a rough day at Cincy and then responded really well, and it seems to have kind of carried over?
Yeah, I mean, Cincinnati played great. You know, I did a poor job of adjusting to what they were doing. We were kind of stubborn, just didn't think they were going to be able to continue to do what they did, and they did, and they beat us. And so, you know, put a little self-reflection in just in terms of our game planning. You know, are we doing the right thing and making sure we have our contingency plans in place when things aren't going right? So just the level of detail with in our coaches' meetings in terms of our game plans has gone up a notch. Hmm. You know, the guys buy into what we're trying to do game plan wise has really turned up as well. And I think that's breeding a lot of confidence in what we're doing.
The second game in the win streak was, of course, K-State this past weekend. And that was a team that was playing, you could argue, as well as anybody in the country over a three-week span. They'd won six straight.
Yeah, I mean, and against really good teams, too. You know, it wasn't just six wins against, you know, it was like the six wins against really good teams. So, yeah, we knew that was going to be a challenge. We came in that and you know, I thought our execution in that game defensively was good. They do a lot of stuff with different pick and roll combinations that it takes a lot of game planning and thought goes into that, like, you know, how we can match that. And we did a good job there. And even on the offensive end, too. You know, they're a team that, you know, they weren't great at protecting the rim, and we made them pay. You know, we got to the rim kind of at will in that game, and that was something that we had focused in quite a bit going into that game. And so to see the guys execute that at a high level really helped us get that win.
You respect all these Big 12 teams, and opponent by opponent, you say good things about the opponent, but you also make clear that, let's not forget, this is a good BYU team as well, and you want your guys to feel that they're a really good team. You said post-game Kansas, I think, that maybe earlier on in the year, maybe they weren't totally believing what you were telling them about what we are, what we could be, but they're feeling it now, and you feel it too.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a huge thing, not to get too, like, philosophical, but just in life. You know, if you don't believe in yourself, it's going to be hard for anybody else to believe in you. And so whatever the task at hand is, and that's kind of sort of been my mantra since I've not just gotten here, but even as I was a youngster coming up and coaching. I remember one of my first games ever coaching as a head coach in the G League was against a former NBA head coach. I was 27 years old. The guy was going up, had been a head coach of multiple NBA teams. And I was like, let's go, you know, and that gave me a lot of confidence as a young coach. And, you know, that's just kind of how I approach life is, why not? Let's get after it. And so as BYU transitioned to the Big 12, you know, you're playing teams like Kansas. You're playing all these big teams, you know, going back into the recruiting space, same type of philosophy of, you know, why can't we go after, you know, big things? And that's what we're trying to do. You know, fortunate that, you know, we were able to get some wins, you know, here recently against really good teams. But I say all that to say, that's what we're trying to instill in our players, you know, that mantra, that belief, and I think the guys are really starting to get there.
Quick thing before you get to some highlights from both games, actually. Post-game, a lot of buzz going on. You ended up on SportsCenter right after the game from the floor talking with SVP. I think it's your first conversation since you've been the head coach with him. Is that accurate?
Yes.
Yeah. A cool moment showing that the national eyes are focused on BYU on a big win on ESPN Tuesday night.
Yeah, you know, and honestly, I get blinded. I just have blinders on. I don't even realize what's going on in the real world half the time, but during the season. And I didn't realize that, you know, I knew it was on ESPN. I kind of forgot the NBA was sort of on hold. And, you know, we're on the spotlight. So, you know, I had a lot of texts after the game. And I hope maybe he sees us. But shout out to Joel Embiid. He texted me after the game because he played at Kansas, obviously.
Yes.
I talked to Joe, you know, a couple times a year. But, you know, we were having a laugh about, you know, me beating his former team and stuff like that. So, you know, a broad reach for sure because of the platform that we had.
Yeah, it was a great night. I'm glad the nation got to see it that way. And Bill Self, postgame, you know, it was his first trip to the Marriott Center since way back in the day when he was coaching with Tulsa. And he had so many great things to say. And he'd just taken a tough L, but he had so many great things to say about the building, the classiness of the crowd and the building, how clean it is, just how great of an experience he thought it was to be back in the Marriott Center.
Yeah, no, Bill's a class act for sure. I mean, he's doing this, been doing this forever, you know, Hall of Fame guy. So I caught the wind of those words that he had said. You know, I think it's a shout out to the whole university, the community. And he's a guy who's been, you know, really welcoming to me as I've joined the ranks here.
And BYU now 2-0 against KU since joining the Big 12, which is a pretty cool thing as well. Well, last week on this show, we were talking about, yes, a big road win at West Virginia. And now the Cougs have turned one win into three. The Cougs sweeping K-State and Kansas Saturday, Tuesday, respectively. Let's take a look back now at some of the performances and numbers that made it happen. Highlights and stats presented by Intermountain Health, official medical provider of BYU Athletics. We start with Richie Saunders against the team in Lavender on the weekend. First career double-double for Richie. 17 points, 14 rebounds, 5 on the offensive end, and he was a game-high plus 25 for you.
Yeah, he was amazing. I think, you know, the scoring was awesome, but I think, you know, just that offensive rebound he got late, you know, where he's chasing it down off the free throw line just kind of put a stamp on his night. But he's been rock solid for us all year. He's been, you know, steady on both ends of the floor. That's the thing I love about him. He really gets it done on both ends of the floor for us, and he had a big game that game.
You can always count on Richie, and I really like the way Dallin Hall is playing right now. In that game, season high 16 points for Dallin Hall. It was the most he'd scored since the win against Kansas in Lawrence last season, as it turns out. He also had 3 assists to only 1 turnover in a 24 strong minutes off the bench for you.
Yeah, I mean, when he's putting eyes on the rim, being aggressive, trying to, you know, put pressure on the defense, you know, it opens up a lot of things for our team offense, but also his individual offense. Just keeping that aggressive mindset, I think, is so important for him.
Okay, how about a helping of a special K? Keba Keita was 1 point shy of a double-double in this one. He goes for 9 points, 11 rebounds, and only 18 minutes. Really economical use of his time, playing some of his best basketball as a BYU Cougar, we could say as well, and a career-high 5 blocked shots in this one.
Yeah, he was amazing. You know, his motor is, I feel like he's just playing harder and harder as the season goes on. I thought we did a good job of that right there, where they were trying to switch early on, and we punished him down low something that we hadn't done a great job of earlier on in the year. And I thought that kind of jump-started his night. And, you know, he's playing, like, I agree, he's playing at an extremely high level right now.
And he is making highlight blocks game by game now.
I asked him if he sent the 1 spike block to his brother, who's a pro volleyball player in Italy.
Critique his form, maybe,
yeah,
on that.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's good. Not that you need a ton of offense from Keba, but when you get it, I mean, you're so much better.
No question. And like I said, I have to do a better job of, you know, highlighting when they're switching. You know, trying to punish the smalls on him in the paint. He's really good at that. Coach Burgess reminds me of that often. You know, that's something they did a good job with him last year. But I think that kind of gets his motor going even more. You know, he's an unselfish guy. He does whatever we ask. But, you know, just to reward him from time to time and allow him to be the guy that's on the finishing end of stuff, I think is important.
Okay, so BYU beat K-State by 15 on Saturday to keep this win streak rolling. It was win number 2 of 3. Take a look at the final stat sheet from the weekend. And you see that BYU, I love when we highlight the bench points, because you've had multiple games this year, multiple wins in which your reserves actually outscore your starters, which show just how deep you can be and how you don't lose much going to the bench.
Nah, I mean, it makes us, separates us, honestly, from a lot of teams in our league and in the country, just how deep we can go. You know, we can play 10, 11-man rotation, which it's not something I was setting out to do, but it's just the way that things have shaped up. It's really actually helped us, I think, in a lot of different areas.
And Coach, you don't normally see that at this time of year. Once you get into crunch time, whether it's pros or college, things tend to tighten up a little bit, but it hasn't been that way for you.
No, and like I said, it's just unexpected. Honestly, it's... guys have played really well in practice. Like, Trey Stewart's been one of our best players in practice all year, and so been trying to find ways to get him on the floor. I've been trying to find ways to get Mihailo on the floor more. You know, that Kansas State game, you know, we used 3 centers, you know, and each one of them had a good game. Mihailo, I helped walk the game down for us, just give us a different look. So it's helped us. I think it's helped us wear the other teams out as well. It definitely happened in the Kansas game, where we were just sending in the cavalry, mm-hmm. fresh body after fresh body, and our pace was tremendous in that game.
Okay, that was K-State on the weekend, leading us into the second of the Sunflower State games with KU on Tuesday. Let's take a look at some more highlights and guys that really stood out. And we're going to start, like we did our last highlight package, with more from Richie Saunders. In this game, it was a game-high 22 points, his 6th Big 12 game with 20 or more. He was so efficient, too. 9 of 13 overall, 5 for 5 inside the arc, and he was good from deep. And he goes plus 33 in 30 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, we knew that they give up the second most threes in the Big 12, so we knew it was going to be a night where if we spaced the floor and were locked and loaded, we were going to have a chance to, you know, get some good looks. But, like, those rim finishes for him, you know, he's really gotten comfortable playing off 2 feet in the paint. That's something John Lenihan's been working on with him quite a bit. And, you know, when you play off 2 feet in the paint, you're just never dead. You get those extra pivots, and you can find ways to score around the rim. And he's so good with either hand down there. But, I mean, it's just been a perfect marriage of his strengths and what we highlight in terms of our style of play. And it's just, I think that's why we're seeing, you know, him have the year that he's having.
It shouldn't surprise me by now, but there are still times when he'll come off the curl and he's pulling before, I mean, he gets a shot off really quick.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't seen every team in the country play, but he's got to have one of, if not the quickest releases in college basketball. I mean, that's something that really stood out to me when I was studying the roster here before deciding to take the job. I mean, he gets that thing off so unbelievably fast, and then the way he's able to, you know, make quick decisions as a closeout player as well. I mean, it's it's really fun.
Okay, another guy that we like the way he's playing late in the year is Fuseni Traore. He goes for 7-6 in the Kansas game. And in this game, he moves into BYU's career top 10 in rebounds. And now he's only 2 offensive rebounds shy of Nate Austin in the second place all time on the offensive glass.
That's fantastic. I'm going to rub that in Nate's face for sure. But, you know, the thing I loved about Foose in this game is I've challenged him, you know, in private conversations and in front of the team. We need more out of him defensively. I thought he did a great job on Hunter Dickinson just in terms of his physicality. You know, he's so big and strong, sometimes he doesn't use it on the defensive end. Mm. And so being able to push Hunter off of his spots, I thought played a large part into why, you know, his efficiency, the Dickinson I'm talking about, wasn't as high as it usually is.
We know Foose can clear space on the offensive end, but that's a great point you make about what a force he can be just base-wise on D.
No question, and it's not something that he's done to the level that he needs to. And so hopefully that's a jumping-off point because Arizona presents a lot of challenges in terms of that same type of concept.
And they've gone a little bigger, too, starting Vassar the last game. Trevin Nell, I mentioned Foose leading, going up some career charts, and there was Trevin Nell. He was 1 point shy of 1,000, and of course he got there the way we wanted him to with a three-pointer, and that put him at 1,002, and now he's off and running. So he joins the BYU 1,000 Points Club as the 54th member of the club. He has 8 rebounds and a season-high 4 assists. Arguably, Coach, maybe his best game of the season for you.
Yeah, I mean, obviously his shooting is you know, what he's known for, but I love the fact that he's finding ways to affect the game outside of shooting. You know, he's really bought into our offensive rebounding schemes. He goes in there, it feels like he gets at least 1 or 2 a game. You know, he's a guy who's really benefited quite a bit from, like, quick decision-making as a closeout player as well. You know, he's even playing off 2 feet in the paint. I showed that clip in front of the guys today. They got a charge out of that. But, yeah, he's doing everything that we're asking, and then when he's shooting it, at the clip that he does on top of all those things, man, it really opens the floor up for us.
Was that the little step through?
Yeah,
it was something. All right, Kay Bakeda, we mentioned he was 1 point shy of a double-double on Saturday. He was 1 rebound shy of a double-double on Tuesday, coming very close, 10 points, 9 rebounds, 2 more block shots. That's 11 blocks over his last 6 games. You talk about how good he is there. And he was 5-for-7 from the field against KU, solid plus 23.
Yeah, I mean, his activity level, I think, you know, is the key, really, with him. When he's playing with that motor, that's the one I want him to send to his brother. yeah, when he's playing with that level of a motor, you know, he can get a lot of things done. And our guys do a good job of, you know, finding him. And, to have the shooting we have around an athletic roller like that and a passer like Dallin and Yegor that we have, I mean, it's a lot to deal with. You have some defenses that have a hard choice to make.
You're a pick-your-poison team when it's going right, isn't it?
It is. And so, you know, he's been on the finishing end of more of those lately than he has been.
Something we don't normally see at a halftime is going down the stat sheet and seeing a team with an assist on every field goal made. But that was you guys against Kansas. You had 15 makes, 15 assists. On the night, you end up with a 71% assist rate, which is even better than your normally high rate in helpers.
Yeah, no, it was a really unselfish night by the group. I think, our spacing was really good. You know, Cable and Foose rolling to the rim and making them have to decide, are they going to, you know, tag them or are they going to, you know, play the shooters. And so the first half, it was more they were really, really suffocating the paint and those spray outs were there. And the second half, it felt like we were getting a lot more, you know, stuff at the rim because they were worried about the three-point line. And that's kind of the predicament when we're rolling that we can put teams in.
KU came in with some of the best defensive numbers in the country and a lot of different metrics. They were incredible. To score 91 is pretty amazing. But they're not a bad offensive team either. And to hold that team to 37%, under 30 from the arc, they don't get to the free throw line a lot anyway, but they couldn't hurt you there. They were averaging 55% on their twos, and they shot 45% on their twos against you.
Yeah, I mean, we did a good job physicality-wise in the interior, but just, you know, I think where this is, like, these metrics you're showing here along with, like, our offensive metrics, I mean, there's so many things that go into that, right? It's like a big I would be not doing this guy enough credit if I didn't mention Akash Sebastian, our director of analytics. He's able to pull out so many nuggets with teams' trends offensively and defensively that really help us crystallize our game plans. And so, you know, that's a game we knew, like I said, they were going to give up. We knew they were going to give up a lot of threes. That's what they do. And then on the defensive end, you know, they're a team that, you know, is super, super paint heavy. We were going under a lot of things and forcing them to beat us from the outside. And so, the game plans are really a huge team effort, and Akash is a big part of what we do. And I think sometimes when you hear the word analytics and then today's game, it's like, oh, don't shoot long twos. And that's what everyone thinks analytics are, but it's so much deeper than that. And, you know, he's a big reason why some of these game plans have been coming together.
And Akash came to you from?
He was with me in Phoenix. Yeah, he's a stud.
Okay, let's take a look at the final stat sheet from BYU and KU on Tuesday night. And again, BYU dominant in every possible way. That 34-point win just does not happen. It ties for the largest margin of defeat in the Bill Self era. It's BYU's largest ever margin of victory against a ranked team as the Jayhawks came in at number 23. Outstanding night in every possible way, which means an improved team sheet for BYU from last week to this week. It was good last week. It's even better this week. BYU just outside the top 30 in both net and KenPom right now. The resume number at the bottom takes a nice big jump after those back-to-back wins. And the BPI number stays solid and is even up near the top 25 for BYU. And so there you are, Coach. Three games above 500 in the Big 12. It's the first time BYU's been three games above 500 in the league.
Yeah, no, we're playing good basketball right now. But more than anything, just the energy, the vibes, the belief, the confidence in what we're doing, I think is – you know, you want that to build throughout the year. You know, you want to keep building and have it go this way. And right now we're in that. I thought today the way that they came back in after a good win and an off day, they got right back to work. And we just want to, again, just our mantra, just come in and just try to keep stacking these days up. And we're looking forward to, you know, getting on the road and going down to Tucson. And, you know, Arizona played a great game when we played them up here. You got to give them a lot of credit. Right. But we feel like we learned a lot from watching the film. And, you know, I think we're a different team, you know, right now than we were when we played them. So we're looking forward to putting that into motion.
Even just 2 weeks ago, two plus weeks ago.
Yeah. And yeah. I mean, you know, you learn a lot from every game. I say it all the time. Every game has a life of its own. But there's things that you learn in that game that you then can put in the next game and so on and so forth. And so, you know, we feel like we're doing that. And, it'll be fun to go down there and more NBA-like where you're now playing a team for the second time, right, which happens all the time in that league. And so that's a space I feel pretty comfortable operating in, and hopefully we can put some of those adjustments into play.
Okay, standings check. 16-team league, the Big 12, and BYU finds itself in the top tier, solo fifth place right now. Just two games out of fourth, which is actually a tie for third. And again, the top four teams get double byes at the conference tournament in Kansas City. Top eight teams get a single bye. And there you see the BYU Cougars at three games above 500. Five games left in BYU's Big 12 schedule. Three quad one opportunities. Coach already alluded to the weekend game at number 19, Arizona. It's part of the Grand Canyon State swing. Coach back to his old stomping grounds. It'll be Arizona on Saturday, Arizona State next Wednesday. You see how things finish out with two at home, West Virginia and Utah at the Marriott Center, at Iowa State and Hilton, the final road game after this weekend. And speaking of this weekend, it's a long weekend, and we're going to be on the road the entire time. We're not coming back between games. What could be a benefit of keeping the team together in Arizona?
I think there's times throughout the year where longer road trips are good for your club, and so just especially a place like that where, you know, they can get outside, do some stuff together, hang out, enjoy some nice, you know, warm weather and just get a change of scenery and do it with your, you know, your brothers and your teammates to be able to just continue to build up our bond. I think it's important. Our nutritionist, Danielle, who's with me in Phoenix, got some nice restaurants lined up for the guys to go enjoy some time together. So I thought when the schedule came out, we kind of identified that as a time where we felt like would be a good bonding moment as we kind of, you know, get towards the end of the year and of just break up the monotony as well.
Right. And it is a group that enjoys each other's company. It's
they
clear
do.
To see.
Yeah, fun group, man. They have a good time hanging with each other. And that's something that I've really enjoyed this year, as well as my coaching staff, just the guys we get to coach. You know, there's not a lot of nonsense going on, and we're able to, you know, have a good time with these guys.
All right, that was a jam-packed first segment. Time for our first break, and we will tell you that your day-to-day Cougar Sports play-by-play happens on BYU Sports Nation with Spencer and Jerem weekdays at noon Eastern on BYU TV and BYU Radio. When we come back, Mihailo Boskovic, Mihai, will join us in Studio C as BYU Basketball with Kevin Young continues. Stick around.
BYU Basketball with Kevin Young is brought to you by Siegfried & Jensen, helping Utah families for over 30 years, and Intermountain Health, official medical provider for BYU Athletics.
All right, welcome back. Welcome back to the show. Our in-studio guest tonight is officially the tallest player on the BYU basketball roster. And lately, he's been showing up big for BYU, averaging 5 points per game over the last four games and giving Kevin Young some very good minutes with increased playing time off the bench. Please welcome in for his Kevin Young show debut from Serbia, Mihajlo Boskovic.
Hello, my friend. Good to see you.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Welcome to Studio C.
Thank you for having me.
It's good to have you here. You are from Serbia. The town in Serbia is called?
Užice.
Užice.
Yeah, it's close.
Dang it. Yeah. Just close. When did you start playing basketball?
7 years old.
Did you play any other sports?
I kind of played a little bit of soccer, and I tried water polo one summer. Yeah.
How'd that go?
Well, it was a hard sport.
It is a hard sport. You're working hard on that one.
Yeah. So I just did it, you know, to try it. It was fun, but, you know, basketball was always my number one.
What position did you play in soccer?
Well, everybody wanted me to be a goalie, you know, because I was tall. I just wanted to go score goals.
All right. Family. How many people in your family?
Well, I have a brother and sister, both younger. My little brother, he's 12. He's also kind of started playing basketball right now, and my sister, she's 20, and she'll be 20 in a month, and she's, you know, going to university.
Is she an athlete too, or?
No, she played volleyball, but she stopped because of school.
Okay, Coach Young, when did you first hear the name Mihajlo Boskovic?
Man, I got a call from one of my friends in the NBA when there was a big event going on over in Italy, and he just brought up Mihajlo's name to me, and I said, okay, you know, sounds like an interesting player. Tell me more. And we just kind of went through it all, and then somebody that he knew happened to be at that same event, and he jumped on the phone as well, and then it was a long process, actually, though, to get this thing to the finish line for a number of different reasons. But I remember I was on the phone talking to a couple of his former Serbian coaches, and you know, one of them in particular was extremely, you know, high on just his toughness and how much he enjoyed coaching Mihajlo and how much, you know, confidence that he gave the coach in terms of just going into battle with him every day. And that to hear that from a coach is very comforting.
The more you heard about and got to know Coach Young and then learn about BYU, how excited were you to come over here and be a Cougar?
Yeah, every day, like, more and more excited. You know, it started, like, I can't even remember right now, but it was like a whole summer, I guess. You know, it was just, you know, hearing things a little bit and then, you know, hopping on internet, searching up, you know, seeing a NBA coach, you know, coming to university. I guess it's big time here. I'm not really familiar, but I don't think
me
that happens
at
a lot.
The time, so.
No, I don't think that happens a lot, you know. And I was just, you know, intrigued with it. I was very happy that he was kind of, you know, openly with that. He was, we talked, and I was just, you know, I thought that was the right move.
So. Young kids in Serbia, if they're good at basketball, that's there's a lot of opportunities. You can play a lot of different places. Are basketball players seen as kind of a very high level thing in Serbia? Do they really look up to the basketball players there?
Yeah. I mean, our biggest players are a great inspiration for basketball players in Serbia. Young, you know, for me, my favorite player when I was growing up was Bogdanović. He plays at Clippers right now. But he was in Serbia, he was a legend, you know, playing for a national team and, you know, just winning, you know, silver medals. But for us, that's a big thing. And, yeah, you know, I think the people are very, very fond of Serbian national team.
Okay, how excited were you to come to America to play basketball?
Very excited, very excited. So it was my second time in America.
When did you come the first time?
Well, first time I was coming here for like practices and workouts and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. That was 2 years ago, I think. That was my first time in 20 days, and I was happy. When I left, I was just thinking about how I wanted to come back at some point. And, you know, it happened a year later, so I was just very excited to come.
We saw a clip, Coach, of Mihailo talking about how he learned English watching, I think, Disney Channel. he does pretty well. He speaks the language really well now, doesn't he?
I mean, he's a super bright guy. I mean, whether it's English or whether it's, you know, his basketball IQ on both ends of the floor, he's just a really intelligent, you know, person, and I think it shows kind of all over. I mean, the fact that you know, he's only been over here once but still speaks the language so good, I think just speaks to that.
I've got a daughter here at BYU, and she's in a really tough stats class, and Mihailo's in that class with her, so I know he's smart. That's a tough class.
Yeah. And Richie too.
And Richie's in the same class. That's a good point.
Good company.
He is. Yeah. Your role as the season's gone along, how have you embraced your role, and how fun is it to be with a bunch of guys who are all doing the same thing and all kind of playing their part in a really successful season?
Yeah, well, you know, I've been, you know, playing basketball long enough to know, you know, that's a game of roles. And just, you know, I've accepted it, and it's been great because we were winning, and I've been very happy with it. And, you know, past couple games have been going great for me, so I'm just, you know, excited more and more.
You've been able to lean more and more on Mihai, and he's giving you great minutes.
Yeah, no, he's really, it takes a lot of maturity to handle, you know, to accept a role, you know, especially early on. He was getting more opportunity, and then, you know, I was playing some other guys, but the more we were in practice, the more I knew I wanted to get him out on the floor. Both at you know, as a perimeter player, but also as a five, because it gives us a different look. And you know, he came in my office maybe three or four weeks ago, and we just asked him, like, Coach, what do you need me to do? And so we had a really honest conversation, and you know, he embraced that role, and he's been able to, you know, help us win in crunch time. You know, West Virginia obviously was huge, but even the other night at Kansas State, when, you know, I put him at the five because they were starting to switch, and now we're hitting him at the elbow and playing through him, and he allows us to do different things on the offensive end when teams are really starting to pressure Dallin and Yeager. We can throw him the ball, he can facilitate offense for us. So again, the maturity to accept what the role is for me as a coach is extremely rewarding.
And finally, before the break here, Mihailo, we know you're learning about college basketball in America as you go, but Kansas is a legendary program, and you got to be
that
part.
I know, yeah.
That you know, okay. How fun was Tuesday night in a sold-out Marriott Center?
Very fun, you know, just to be able to be like a legendary team like that, it just speaks volumes to what we're doing this season. And I feel like the energy was not like the other games that we played at home, you know. I think that was I feel like it would be even better if we played a, you know, close game. I guess.
No.
I'm taking the 30-point game every time. But I'm saying, you know, the energy. People were so happy for us, and like cheering us on, and I think that gave us the energy to play as good as we did.
You know? I know what you mean. And Bill Self actually said the same thing. He said in a closer game, the crowd might have even been more of an impact, and it was already great.
Yeah,
exactly. It's a good point. All right, let's take a break. We got more with
Mihailo
as BYU basketball with Kevin Young continues. Stick with us. All right, we are back in Studio C. BYU basketball with Kevin Young, presented by Siegfried and Jensen, helping Utah families for over 30 years. All right, it's time for a mini game show segment tonight, and we are heading to Mihailo's homeland for an activity we are calling Who Am I with Mihailo Boskovic. I will give you, Mihailo, clues as to the identity of some of Serbia's best and most well-known all-time basketball players who've also played in the NBA. With the clues going from harder to easier as we go. And as soon as you know who we're talking about, tell us and we'll reveal the answer. You got it?
Yeah.
Okay, that's how it's done. And we'll start this way. I think you're going to kill this game. You're going to knock it out of the park. Here we go. All right. Player number one. Okay. I enjoy horse racing and own a stable of horses.
I think everyone here.
I don't know if everyone knows, but you know.
Nikola Jokic.
It's Nikola Jokic. We're starting soft here. It is indeed Nikola Jokic. His other clue. The other clues were, I've played for only one NBA team. I have more NBA points than any other Serbian player. And I've won three NBA MVPs. That's how it goes. You know, it's Nikola.
And it's 1-1 versus Coach Young in NBA playoff series. There you go.
By the way, game plans against the Joker. How much fun is that?
It's a nightmare.
player number two. Clue number one. I won four straight Serbian national championships playing with Partizan Belgrade.
Bogdan Bogdanović.
Okay, he says Bogdan Bogdanović. Yeah. And the answer here, without any more clues, is Bogdan Bogdanović. Yeah. He knew this. Yeah. And how'd I do on the other clues? Silver medal with Serbia in the 2016 Olympics, drafted by the Suns, traded to the Kings, and then currently plays for the Clippers, as you know. Yes. So you're two for two. We knew he'd be good at this. Number three, player number three. I was a first-round draft pick in 2022.
If I guess now, is it like a miss right away?
No, you can stay. We'll keep you playing. You can be
Nikola
wrong.
Nikola Jovic.
You say Nikola Jovic?
Yeah.
All right, so it's Nikola Jovic. He's got teams three for three. The other... I knew he'd be good at this. Okay, other clues here where I'm Serbian, but I was born in England. Yeah. I currently play for the Miami Heat and average 11 points a game, and I share the same first name with the reigning NBA MVP. Yeah. There are two Nikolas in the NBA. There you go. All right, number four, player number four. I was the 14th overall pick in the 1996 NBA draft.
Next clue.
Clue two, I won the NBA All-Star three-point contest two
Peja
times.
Peja Stojakovic.
He says Peja Stojakovic, and the answer here is Peja Stojakovic. Yeah. Yes, clue number three. There we see Peja in a Mavericks uniform. That was the very tail end of his career. I was known more by my nickname, Peja, than my first given name, which is Predrag.
Predrag, yeah.
Thank you. and I played most of my career with the Sacramento Kings. That was the last
one. I'm going to give another fun fact. We have a play named Peja.
So in the current book?
We do.
And that's I think, world-renowned player, right?
Yes.
Everybody's calling it like
So, in basketball, actions a lot of times get named after players.
Right.
So there's an action called Peja. So if you ever see me doing this, I can't say it.
I was going to say, is there a version of Peja that you can run for this guy? That's what I want to know. All right. Well, that was about player four. Player five. We're already at player five. I was the first player born and trained outside the U.S. to play in 1,000 NBA games.
I think if I see Shaq here, that's Vlade Divac.
It's Vlade Divac. Okay. And the other clues here were, I was a first-round NBA draft pick in 1989. Among my NBA teams were the Hornets and the Kings, but I began and ended my career with the LA Lakers. Okay, very good. We have a bonus player for you. That was five. We'll do a bonus player. All right. I'm currently playing pro basketball in China.
Boban Marjanovic.
All right. Yeah. Okay. It's Boban
Marjanovic.
The other clues here. My first NBA team was the San Antonio Spurs. Clue number three, Kevin Young was one of my coaches on the Philadelphia 76ers staff in 2019. Tell us about coaching Boban.
He's one of the all-time best guys. And the funniest, my favorite thing about him is the Goldfish commercial where he sticks his hand in and breaks the breaks the whole bag. His hand is literally and he's a very touchy-feely guy. Yeah. So he'll every time I see, "Oh, coach." And I feel like like an infant because his hand just takes up my entire back. But we had him and Tobias Harris together and they had the Bobby and Toby show.
I love that.
Extreme comedy.
Yeah. And my last clue there was the fact that he's 7'4". He's gigantic.
He's a large human.
And he's still playing ball and doing it in China. So clearly, you know your basketball. These are all Serbian heroes, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
These are guys people know.
Pretty much, yeah.
And you mentioned earlier that Bogdan was maybe one of the guys you liked most growing up?
Yeah. Like a basketball, I would say, favorite basketball player when I was young.
Okay. Is there anybody whose game you're kind of like or you think you maybe play closest to of the guys we just maybe covered or somebody else?
I don't think of the guys we covered,
There's Nemanja.
he also
Bielitsa?
Yeah,
I think maybe closer to him.
Is that a good one?
Yeah.
I almost put him in there, by the way. That'd be somebody else that we would.
We almost traded for him when I was with the Sixers, actually.
Oh yeah. Very good. You killed that. I knew you would. That was good. Were the clues okay? Were they good clues?
No, you got them all early.
Sure, okay.
I thought he was going to go a little farther in history. Then maybe I wouldn't guess everything.
He made it too easy on you. He did. But let me say this about Serbian players and coaches. Like, the Serbian culture is just known for just having really hard, tough-minded coaches, right? And they're just all just really tough guys. I mean, and not to say this is the norm in Serbia. However, I remember seeing a clip of Bojan where there was – a coach that just actually
He choked him.
He choked him. He literally
during the game.
He went like vice grip on the throat. And if that happened here, you know, it's get crazy. And he just took it, got back out there, and kept playing the game. Yeah. I was like, okay, that guy's a legend right there.
When we come back, some audience Q&A for the Cougs head coach and Mihailo. And BYU basketball, Kevin Young continues.
BYU Basketball with Kevin Young is brought to you by Siegfried & Jensen, helping Utah families for over 30 years. Health Decide, decode your DNA, design your destiny. Ken Garf, we hear you. And Brady Plus, delivering the right supplies plus support to ensure businesses are more successful.
It is BYU Basketball with Kevin Young. Time now for some audience questions and answers with Coach Young and our guest tonight, Mihailo Boskovic. It's presented by Ken Garf. We hear you. All right, our first question is set up on the studio mic. Young man, what's your name?
Hi, I'm Lucas, and I have a question for Mihailo. So you come a long way from Serbia. I mean, Nikola Jokic, there's a lot of big guys, really good guys who come from Serbia. And it's a really long way from here to Provo. And my question is, what have you learned most about yourself this season here in Provo?
Well, that's a great question. So the last 3 years, I wasn't home. So I was playing on teams that weren't really close to my home. So I kind of, you know, acclimated to the whole, you know, not being home thing. But, you know, being this far away where, you know, for 6 months you don't see or hardly really talk to your people is pretty challenging. But I feel like, you know, it just made me realize how much I love this game, and the reason why I came here just, you know, made itself more clear. All the stuff that, you know, BYU has to offer, resources about basketball and just, you know, great coaches. You can come in the gym anytime, you know, work on your game. And just solidified my love and passion about the game even more.
Even though you are far from home and your loved ones, do you feel welcome in Provo, that people are embracing
you?
Yeah.
That wasn't the question.
Yeah. But you feel good here, like you feel the love, right?
No, great, really great. You know, people and here are super welcoming, and you know, friends that I have on the team are like great friends, and it just feels normal.
We're glad you're here. Second question, yes. What's your name?
My name is Nixon, and my question is for Mihailo. What's your favorite part of Provo?
My favorite part of Provo? Well, I would say Marriott Center is the favorite, but that's like, you know, too close to basketball. I haven't been to many places, to be honest, so I can't really say nothing aside from that.
Marriott Center is a good answer.
Yeah, I mean, no, it's a good answer.
It's hard to beat.
Yeah.
Do you have roommates that are teammates also or not?
Well, we kind of live all close together.
Okay. Next question. Yes.
Yeah, Lance Pierce. So in the second half at the Marriott Center, when the opposing player misses that first free throw and all the chicken people go nuts, what does that sound and feel like?
That's crazy. I wouldn't want to be on that part of a shooting free throw. Like, you know, just the Rock gets crazy. You know, whole game they're very, very passionate, but like once they miss the first free throw, I don't know how they make the second one, to be honest. I think there's like a worst percentage of second free throws, you know, being on that side shooting it.
The Rock has an impact.
Yeah, it has. For sure.
Who doesn't want a free chicken sandwich?
Yeah.
And we can. The gym always gets a little more amped after that first free throw miss. All right, our final question. What's your name, sir?
I'm Joseph. My question's for Coach. So how do you balance between coaching to players' strengths versus having them adapt to the game plan or your style of play?
I think one, just I think being mindful of, you know, who we're bringing into our program and making sure things mesh. But I think, you know, any I think good coach just plays to the strengths of his players. And so it's my job. I think I put a lot of, you know, onus on myself to make sure I'm putting the guys in the best positions that they can be successful in. And if I'm not, I try to be really, really critical of that. And have conversations with guys, making sure that, you know, we are putting them in the positions that they're able to, you know, do what they do best in.
All right, crowd, thanks for the questions. Great stuff. Time for our BYU basketball trivia question tonight. It's brought to you by Brady Plus, providing Jan-San food service and packaging supplies, plus support. Brady Plus ensures that businesses are more successful every day. All right, let's get to tonight's trivia question. And we talked about Trevin Nell joining the 1,000-point club. This member of BYU's 1,000-point club shares his last name with the Cougars head coach and was the Mountain West Conference Player of the Year in 2007. Who is he? I think you know the answer. It's coming up next. Stay with us for BYU basketball. Kevin Young, after this. All right, welcome back to BYU basketball with Kevin Young. Love our crowd tonight. It's a snowy night in Provo, and it's tough to get out on the roads and come and join the show, but these are awesome people. All right, our Brady Plus and one trivia question. That's a question, and the answer on this one, the other KY. This would be Kena Young. Scored more than 1,000 points in three seasons at BYU from 2004 through 2007. Here we go. All right, time to Know the Foe, presented by Health Decide. Decode your DNA, design your destiny, with BYU getting ready to take on the Arizona Wildcats for the second time this season. Yes, their first game came just back on February 4th in Provo, and Arizona came away with the 11-point win that night, 85-74. I think they left the building, Coach, at 10-1 in league. They've since gone 2-2. They had a little two-game losing streak. You see their national rankings very high. Team's not scoring a lot against them. Of course, Caleb Love does what Caleb Love does. By the way, Coach, they go to Waco. They were on a two-game losing streak, had to go into Baylor. That's a tough game when you're on a bit of a slide. That was a nice win for them on Monday.
Yeah, really good team. Super well coached. They played a very good game when they came here. You know, after just going back in and rewatching it, you know, the final score is a bit misleading. I mean, that game was neck and neck for you know, 35 minutes or so. And, you know, we had a hard time scoring down the stretch, and they found a nice little rhythm offensively. So it'll be really fun to right some of those wrongs and see where we can make some adjustments and go down there and get a big win.
Arizona near the top of the Big 12. Mihailo, it's your first time through the Big 12. What do you think about this basketball league in terms of the caliber of play night in, night out?
It's very, very strong. Very competitive, you know, great teams. I don't know. I haven't seen the other. I mean, I have watched some since I came here, you know, but I would say it's probably one of the top leagues, if not top two, you know, in college basketball in America. Just a great teams, you know, five or six ranked teams. Maybe five, I think, right now. I don't know. But, you know, every game is a battle. There's no easy games. And, you know, it's just, I think it's a very competitive league.
Before you take a look at the broadcast schedule, Coach, one thing you want to do that maybe you didn't do at the level you wanted to against Arizona the first time?
You know, I think we've physicality, you know, really, I think they're one of the most physical offensive teams that we've played, you know, with how much they duck in and how much they try to carve out space with their bigs in the interior. So just having a much more of a paint presence defensively will be a real key to that game.
Okay, to the broadcast schedule for Saturday, Cougars and Wildcats for the second time from McHale Center. First time there since Jimmer played for BYU. And yes, our last time in that building, BYU had a good night and Jimmer had a great night. All right, Cougar pregame live on BYU Radio at 7 Mountain, the game at 8 Mountain. It'll also be on the mothership, they say, ESPN. And, of course, radio and radio postgame coverage right after the contest from Tucson. That'll be on Saturday night, game one of a two-game Arizona road swing. That will do it for tonight. Our thanks to Mihailo Boskovic, courts coach Kevin Young, and Soulful producer Hema Hemuli, and our entire crew. Thanks to our great audience. My name is Greg Wrubell, saying have a great week and weekend, and we will see you next week. Okay.